We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast. This week's guest, former Eagles head coach and defending Super Bowl head coach Andy Reid. Andy Reid with a little humor. And actually, he's a funnier guy than people thought, and he's really got a pretty good personality, and I think you'll hear that in this discussion, this conversation, as I like to call it, with Andy Reid. Even Dick Vermeil, who's heard it, was really complimentary and enjoyed the conversation that I had with Andy Reid. But before we get to that, the state of sports. What is the state of sports? National Hockey League, I do not, absolutely do not like this current setup of 24 teams, first four teams in each conference getting a bye, and they're at a disadvantage because the other teams will have played a series and get in at least a little better game shape than the teams that have the bye. I don't like it. National Hockey League needs it. The teams don't make money until they get the playoffs, and even at that, they're probably going to lose money this year. The players need the money more than other sports, so I don't like the setup. As far as baseball, I know I hear players talk about whether they would play. They're kind of getting away from the money thing, which made them sound foolish and greedy with all the other people in this country that are either out of work, had had pay reductions, have had businesses that have suffered, and they're complaining about their millions of dollars. But now their issue is they think they should be tested every day. And I don't disagree that they should, but you can't do that when the healthcare workers, all those doctors and nurses, they're put their lives on the line, and the first responders and the people that work in grocery stores and the people that do other things, you can't stop. You have to help them and test them before you test players every day. And the players still want their money, and they're not going to take another reduction in pay. And really, that's going to be, I think that's going to be a problem. So whatever the case may be, we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. Basketball, I don't think should even play. I think they should bag it. Just hopefully we have a full football season. Here is head coach Andy Reid. All right, we have the Super Bowl champion head coach, the defending Super Bowl champion head coach, and that would be Andy Reid. Andy, how are you?
Genius. I'm doing great, genius. Doggone it. Everything's good.
All right. Should we start off with the injuries first?
No injuries right now. We're in complete lockdown. So
all right.
Everybody's safe.
All right, so we don't have to worry about the injuries. All right, what has post-Super Bowl life been for you?
Yeah, well, listen, it's mainly been working in my basement, but with the pandemic going on. But I had a chance to go out a little bit, a couple restaurants before the pandemic hit, and I got a couple burn ends for free. I mean, that was great. I mean, it was awesome. You know how much I like to eat, so I took that as a win-win right there.
Right, you know what? I know that, and I'll never forget. Well, I won't forget a lot of moments with you when you were here, but there was a Monday night game, and it was over late. And I remember you. It was at the Vet, and you're eating a cheeseburger with mayo, all slopped down at 1:30 in the morning. So I do know you like to eat. So after you win the Super Bowl, was there a complete full menu of food?
Well, they did have a nice spread for us, and they did have a nice cheeseburger. So I made sure that I pushed away on the lobster and steak and went for the cheeseburger.
You are big on the cheeseburgers. You know, it was obviously a great moment, and I'll never forget the moment after the game. I could see you were so happy. And obviously congratulated you on the field, and you said, I'm not done yet. You know, you're going to coach for a while, it sounds like, because you're with your quarterback, you're not done yet.
Well, listen, I still love doing what I'm doing. I love that kid, too. He's a special kid in a lot of ways, not just as a football player. So he's a great person and a smart kid, and I appreciate that. But listen, the bottom line is I love doing what I'm doing. I feel very fortunate to be in this league and to be able to do what I've been doing here for a few years. And I felt the same way when I was in Philadelphia. I mean, what a great opportunity and a great city and with a great organization. So very, very fortunate all the way through this, Howard. You know that.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I always thought you were a genius. I'm going to feed you the truth serum now, and I want the honest answer. Winning a Super Bowl, and I know that you just go out there and coach and do the best you can, but finally winning a Super Bowl meant what to you and what you've been doing all along in your coaching?
Well, I mean, listen, as a coach, it's, it's the ultimate compliment for your team. So you go, doggone, man. I mean, it's for all the hard work that went in and with coaches and players, I just you sit there and that's kind of where your mind goes for your owner who's in the city of Kansas City that haven't been there in a long time. And actually our owner, he went there as the son of an owner, but he hadn't been there since he's taken over. And for their family, I that's kind of where your mind goes. It's it was just a great, great experience that you get to experience with a lot of people. You're not winning it and sitting there in a cocoon going, oh, I'm so great. I mean, that's not what you do. You're kind of celebrating with everybody. And my wife was at it during me. I mean, you know, come on. So, you celebrate that whole thing. Yeah, being a coach's wife isn't an easy thing. But I had my whole family there, all of that, plus the players. I mean, everybody that's close to you ends up being there along with your team and your organization. And I mean, that's a phenomenal experience.
Yeah. But you know, and you, I don't know how much you listen, you know, Philadelphia was obviously a different media city than Kansas City, but you, I thought you were always a very, very good coach, and I'm not the only one that thinks that. And, but you never, everybody judges people based on winning a Super Bowl. And does it really, it has to mean something to you to have won a Super Bowl and finally have that on your mantle? It's got to. I mean, there's got to be something.
Yeah. You were there for the post game, so you and I talked, but it was, you sit there and I had to laugh because it's the day after I'm being asked all these questions and does this make your career? Well, there are a lot of things that go into making a career. I mean, I was lucky enough to be on teams that had won 221 football games, you know, and and in Philadelphia and Kansas City between the two of them. And so 221 wins, and in 4 hours, one game in 4 hours, your whole perception of people changes, and how they look at you. And I mean, it's an amazing thing when you look at that. I mean, I'm the same coach that I was in Philadelphia as I am here, but one game, 4 hours, everything changes, it's a great experience. It's a humbling experience, and it's a unique study in the sociology, I guess, of football.
You know, I noticed, you know, obviously I'm at the practices, I'm at your news conferences when you were here in Philadelphia, and then, you know, I'm at the Super Bowl, and I've seen you in different news conferences beyond the Super Bowl. Just seems like you're... you don't give up a lot, and I understand that, and we've talked about that, but it seems like you're more relaxed in being, having some humor in news conferences. What's different about you now as a person in those situations?
Well, listen, I mean, first of all, I don't think the media wants a comedian up there. They want a story. Right. So I try to bring a story, but on the other hand, I've been doing this a long time, and I know I'm on the downhill side of being a head football coach. I get it. I'm older. So, and I think it's crazy because I think the early years you're working, you're going, man, if I can just last 5 years or 10 years and, you know, can do this thing. And there's a certain urgency and angst and pressure that, you know, comes with that. And then when you get, and it's not the work ethic. That's not what it is. It's the attitude that goes into it. So, and then I think you get to a certain age, then you're more confident about your abilities, and you know that the days are limited, and you're going to enjoy every day of it, and work as hard as you can possibly work and exhaust the day, but also exhaust the relationships that you've had a chance to meet in situations. I mean, how many more press conferences do I have a chance to do? You start getting into that as opposed to trying to get, you know, and accumulate them. You're kind of down on the backside of the count.
You know, it's just, and I was lucky enough, and I tell people, you know, people didn't like you or didn't understand you here because you didn't share a lot of things. But there's different moments. One of them, I'm walking off the field, obviously dressed as Santa Claus. You know, it was Christmas Eve, and you almost didn't win that game, too, by the way. I think you're playing Cincinnati. And I'm walking off the field, and you're looking like, who the hell is this? And explain what you said to me when you're walking off the field and how you knew who it was.
Well, this is the thing, man. So, first of all, we won because St. Nick was there, right? So I felt – then I see – that it's Howard Eskin because of why? Because Santa's wearing a Rolex, man. And I'm going, are you kidding me? There's only one guy that could dress up like Santa Claus that's only 4 feet 10 and has a Rolex on, and that was you.
You're the best.
And it also might have been the fur coat that you had over the Santa Claus outfit.
Yeah, probably. It's all right. As long as Saint Nick was there. You know, we on WIP, we always do things to kind of agitate people. Not me, but other people. I just say what I think. But there was a question this week, which we did a day on the radio. Was Donovan McNabb overrated or underrated? And for whatever reason, and maybe you can explain it, I don't think he got enough credit for who he was. How did you look at him? And you obviously wanted him in the draft. How did you look at him as a quarterback with the Eagles?
Yeah, so listen, I'm partial to Donovan because what he did in Philadelphia just hadn't been done. I mean, he was wired the right way for the city. And so he would fight you, but he would also let it roll off his back, which is a unique yin and yang going there. So, but you want to talk about a guy that came in. I mean, you look at his numbers. He's got Hall of Fame numbers. And he won so many games. And he's stuck in that same thing there. Well, we didn't win the Super Bowl, right? So, but on the other hand, he's as great a player as I've been around. I mean, he's phenomenal. And I had him talk to our team, matter of fact, before the Super Bowl. And I just think he's a heck of a football player, and he's a good guy, and he was smart, and just played the game at a very, very high level for a lot of years.
The one thing that I think if he was a little better at it, the people may have accepted him more, and he was never. If people don't think he's a good quarterback, then they're foolish. But I thought at times he paid too much attention to a criticism. And if you're a quarterback or you're a head coach, as you know, you're going to get criticism. Do you think he paid too much attention to that?
Well, let me explain to you a little bit of this, because it was unique. I mean, let's take the start. Let's take the draft. I mean, here's a young kid fresh out of college, and he gets booed off the stage. Okay, that's one thing. Then he comes to town, and he gets booed off the stage. And it's not just being booed, but it's by the mayor of the city, which, he was elected in that position because a lot of people liked him. And so now you've got this contingency of folk in the city that are going, who is this guy, and why didn't we take Ricky Williams? So this is a young guy now. This is a limited experience. Went to Syracuse. Limited experience in life, really. And here he comes into that, into a tough city. I mean, it's a tough sports city. Passionate people, man. I mean, unbelievably passionate people that love the Eagles. But they didn't understand him at first. And then he eventually grew on them by winning games. You know, his product showed. But a rough start, and he's a competitive guy, so he fought it a little bit. And that's, you're not gonna, it's hard to stay there as the quarterback of the team and take these blows to you. You know, you're going to stand up for yourself, being the competitive guy. And there's nothing there that Philadelphia doesn't love. They want somebody that's going to fight back a little bit. And then they might not appreciate it at that time, but they'll appreciate it down the road as time goes on. We were all blessed to have him. I was blessed to have him as a coach, and Philadelphia is blessed to have him as their quarterback.
You know what? That is a terrific explanation. So now, with all that, there's always a time period that you move on. Why did you move on and trade him?
Yeah, so, kind of like all of us. I mean, I got traded too, right? I mean, I was kicked out the door. But we both look back on it and go, what a great experience. It just, time goes, time runs on, and things change, and that's kind of what happened. It was a changing of the guard, and he had 10 great years in Philadelphia where he dominated and went to 5 championship games in a Super Bowl. I'm going, who does that? I mean, look at that. Think of that. Let that, and he was the leader of the team. I mean, think of that. And but it was that time, and so I wasn't far behind him.
No, you weren't. By the way, my son was in his graduating class at Syracuse, so obviously it's a good school, the one that runs
right.
WIP.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have done extremely well, I think better than, we can go back to Bill Walsh and we can go to Mike Holmgren, and you came kind of out of that. You have cranked out a lot of good coaches. Head coaches, not just coaches, head coaches. And I think Doug Peterson, he has done, I thought he was good, but I didn't know. I think he's this good. But what is it that comes from you, do you think comes from you, to make, you got a lot of guys around the league that coached under you that are head coaches and good head coaches. What is it that you try to instill, or they, do you think they've picked up from you?
Well, first of all, I'm blessed to have those guys as assistants, and then I try to teach, and I do that with all the coaches. I mean, they have an opportunity to see. I'm not a guy that hides a lot of things. I mean, I put it out there how we want to do it, and I'm open to change within the structure. We're still going to stop at the red light, but there's a lot of ways of getting to it, right? So I go about it. Kind of go about it that way, that this is how we're going to roll, and certain things we're going to do but you also have a say, and I want you to grow. I don't want to, I'm not trying to hold anybody down. I want them to grow and be the best they possibly can be at that job. And try to do the same thing with players. You know, and I try to do it myself. I mean, Howard, right? So I'm, you get stagnant, you might as well get out. It's time to go. So keep trying to grow and let your guys around you grow.
You know, is there anything that you remember? And I think, because I know you come back to Philadelphia occasionally, still love the city. I mean, you understood the
love
whole
it.
Thing. You still wonder, what is it that you love about Philadelphia?
Yeah. I think the character of it, man. I mean, first of all, it's an awesome sport. It's an awesome sports city. I mean, I've been in two places now, and well, three. You count Green Bay. Green Bay, think of this. Green Bay, Philadelphia, and Kansas City all love football. And so Philadelphia was passionate, the character of it. Nothing like South Philly. Man, I love South Philly. I love a good cheesesteak. I like it just to be dripping green. I mean, there's nothing better. The Italian section where the food, nothing like it. And it's got everything. Philadelphia has everything. Most of all, it's the people, though, man. The people, I love the people there. Phenomenal people. And they're honest. You know, they're going to let you know. If you suck, they're going to let you know you suck. If you do good, they're going to let you know you do good. And I always said they think like a coach. You know, they're going to let you know exactly where you stand, and I'm okay with that.
You know, when you walked off the field, Dick Vermeil told me a story that, and it's a good thing he said Chuck Bednarik happened to be on the sidelines that day. He heard a fan start yelling at him as he's walking off the field, and this obviously is the vet, and he started climbing into the stands because he wanted to go after him. How many times did you want to do that knowing you couldn't do that, and the worst things you heard walking off the field had to be unbelievable?
Yeah, well, listen, I kept thinking, like, that guy could be a doctor, you know? So I'm not going to say anything back to him. He might be operating on me. But I never wore a hat until I got to Philadelphia, and then I put a hat on because people were, like, throwing pennies at me. I said, geez, if you got to throw some quarters, man. But they would throw and dump some beer and that, and I don't drink, so that wasn't any good. But I appreciated that part of it. I mean, that's all part of the character. And they said things, I mean, you know, every once in a while they'd say that I was skinny, right? Not really, but I mean, they'd say something about being a little chubby and get on me about eating salads and that type of stuff. So I'm okay with that. Again, that's part of the character and part of being Philadelphian. Listen, if you can withstand it, then you're one with them. And I take a lot of pride in feeling like I'm part of Philadelphia, and I love that part. You know,
I'm going to tell one more story about food. I go out. My son was at USC at the time, I told you, I guess I was going out there. And he says, "You got to have a Tommy Burger." So you told me where Tommy Burgers were. So I went to have a Tommy Burger, and I don't know, the chili and the cheese and the ketchup and the. It was good. I had two bites of it. I couldn't eat it anymore. And I remember it was a Saturday afternoon. I remember calling you in your office. I says, "Andy, I couldn't even finish this. How could you eat one of these?" And do you know what your response was to me?
Well, I don't remember. No.
Okay, well, obviously you don't. Your response was, "I didn't have one. I used to have three every day after school."
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to, if you're going to be part of the Fortarians, man, you got to eat like a son of a gun. So, you know, we got to wire you up, especially the greasy ones. They just slide right down. So you're all good there.
All right.
Doggone it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, and I've always appreciated you as a person before a coach. And if you ever need Santa Claus to come out to Kansas City, just give me a call, and I'll try to have St. Nick at one of your big games. And maybe at that point, maybe you wouldn't have had a guy 4 inches off sides. And you know what? The most important thing for you and your family, stay safe and stay healthy. And that's the most important
thing. That's right.
All right.
No, I appreciate it. You too now.
I think you'd have to agree that Andy Reid has a sense of humor. Come on now. You got to agree that Andy Reid has a sense of humor. And he explained the Donovan McNabb situation, I think, better than anybody's ever, or better than he's ever explained it. It's kind of interesting. I liked his jokes about the fans. I liked the Donovan McNabb situation, and even took a shot at then-Mayor Ed Rendell and Ed Rendell. It just, Ricky Williams, come on. Are you kidding me? Ricky Williams, he wasn't even the best back in that draft. But some interesting things coming out of that. He made a very, very interesting, I thought an interesting point. Your career should not be defined by 1 4-hour period. And his talking about that Super Bowl game. You've done what you've done over a career, and you've done the best you can. And the guy is really a good coach. And I think he was a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame coach, even if he hadn't won the Super Bowl. The number of wins he gets and what he's done, and the head coaches, the assistant coaches that he turned into head coaches, he did an amazing job. Andy Reid is a terrific coach and a great teacher. And you can just see by the players that have come out of his systems and by the coaches that have come out of his system. So I hope you enjoyed that. When we talk again, hopefully there'll be something more definitive with sports. We'll know more about where football stands. And at the start, I can't believe there's going to be fans at a football game. And I don't think there should be. I think we've got to be safe first just to start playing, to get possibly a full season of one sport in this year. But hopefully you enjoyed this week's podcast and you enjoyed the conversation that I had with Andy Reid. And we'll do it again another time with another big name in professional sports or even amateur sports. We'll let you know. Everybody, and this is the most important thing, everybody stay safe and stay healthy. And if you're safe, you should remain healthy. That's the most important thing that we have going for us in our lives right now. Take care and enjoy your days ahead. And let's hope that some kind of normalcy comes to all of us at some point soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.